There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you'll only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome to today's WCN TV program. We are broadcasting live, and this is Tuesday, December 17th, 2024. Glad you're all with us today, and I'd just like to encourage you all to share a link to today's show with your friends. If you can do it now, just tell them to go to WCNTV.net, click on Join the Studio Audience, and then they can participate with us here live. Otherwise, just share the link after the program and help us get this information out far and wide. Well, you know, there's been a lot going on. It seems relatively quiet, but there's a lot going on behind the scenes here at WCN, too. Lord willing, this program will soon be added to a national TV broadcast network on a regular basis. More on that coming soon. Jared, our producer, I haven't told you about that, but we're working on it. So hopefully by the first of the year. I've also been working to set up our annual conference, which will be April 4th and 5th in Wausau, Wisconsin. We have a new venue because we got booted from the old one. That conference center was sold, and in the mix, they double booked. So, but we have a new and much nicer facility for this year. And we have some great new speakers lined up for you, including the courageous pastor Art Pawlowski from Canada, who you've seen here on the program during the COVID lockdowns. So stay tuned for more on that. I should also mention, because some of you have asked, that today's program will be the last for this year. Next Tuesday is Christmas Eve, and then the following Tuesday is New Year's Eve, and I expect that most of you are going to want to be with your friends and family. So after today, we'll be back again January 7th, which is the day after the election is to be certified. So we'll see how that all of that goes. Today, we have Curtis Bowers with us. Curtis is a filmmaker, a speaker, and host of the weekly Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast. His award-winning agenda films are still the best and most comprehensive I've ever seen regarding how America has been undermined by the global communist agenda. It's always a great program when Curtis is on, so you're in for another eye-opening episode today. And Curtis, thanks for coming back on the program.
I
just want to let you know, Curtis, how much we appreciate you. You keep your finger on the pulse of current world events and keep us all informed, and your work is always excellent. So thanks for your service and what you do.
You're welcome.
As I said, it may seem relatively quiet these days, but there's a lot going on, and the spiritual battles continue to rage. You may have seen that just yesterday morning, a 15-year-old girl opened fire with a handgun at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin, killing a female teacher and a teenage student. The shooter was also killed, an apparent suicide. Six other people were injured, and at least two students are in critical condition. Just today, as it came across, I posted the shooter's six-page manifesto on our social media pages. Natalie Rupno, who went by the name of Samantha, was a very troubled kid from an obviously dysfunctional family who had been bullied at school. Her manifesto stated her support for Nazism, a disdain for Christianity and all religion, and a severe hatred for all people, especially her parents. It's all very sad. Of course, politicians are wasting no time in calling for more gun control, even though this is a deeply spiritual issue, certainly not gun-related. And we should understand, you simply can't send your troubled kid to a professing Christian school and expect that to solve all their problems, any more than parents can hand over the spiritual training of their children to the Sunday school teacher or youth leader, and then rarely, if ever, live out the Christian faith they profess to hold. If your faith is real, if you're soundly saved in Christ and spiritually equipped with knowledge of Scripture and God's truth, you would not be dysfunctional or troubled. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Curtis, what are your thoughts on this, and what can we even say about these things anymore?
Yeah, it's such a tragedy when you see this. And I think over the last few years, as we've seen girls get involved with this kind of violence and brutality, it just shows how far we have come. And when you reject God, his principles, you throw the Ten Commandments out, you say, no, that's not allowed in school. It's just, it's the fruit of you know, the way we have run our country. A couple key things in it that I thought were really interesting. She said in that manifesto, the shooting was better for evolution than another sloppy suicide. And I think about that and I go, yeah, she's taught she's an animal. And so if she kills off a few other animals that she feels are unfit, what is the problem with that? Of course she's a Nazi, because that's what's taught in our schools. People go, no, it's not. Yes, it is. Evolution is the philosophy that allowed Hitler to legitimize his corrupt worldview and his evil ideas. And so I saw that. I said, that's what we're teaching all the kids. What amazes me is this does not happen multiple times every single day. There's about 50 million kids in the schools. All it takes is one to crack every day, and you would have this every single day of the year. And so it's a miracle to me. It's still not all the time, because when you teach kids there is no God, there is no right and wrong, you're an evolved animal and your very breathing is destroying the planet, then, and they're playing violent video games. I don't know for sure yet if she was on all the pharmaceuticals, like 99% of them are, but that could be another factor. It just, yeah, it's so sad. Of course, I used to be a Christian high school teacher, so I love young people. I love trying to influence and encourage and motivate them and inspire them to do something great with their life for the Lord. But it's definitely, you know, it's where you end up when you say no thank you to God.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about all this is that it was at Abundant Life Christian School, and I'm somewhat familiar with them. And I don't want to vilify the school at all, because I really am not up to date on them. But at one time, probably about 23 years ago, they advertised in our newspaper. And then they stopped, and the leadership of the school changed hands and whatnot. So I don't know the situation there today. But yes, she mentioned evolution in her manifesto, and it was an extremely harsh 6 pages that she wrote, just violent and evil, just pure evil, you know, coming from a Christian school student.
Yeah, you know. No, and it showed, like you said at the beginning, it showed a Christian school can't raise your kids, your pastor can't raise your kids. It's the important role of family, of fathers and mothers, being a good example, being plugged into their children. It sounds like she did have nightmare parents that did not look at any Christian anything. That sound like they're alcoholics and potheads and whatever. So she lived in a nightmare, which is unfortunate. It doesn't, you know, make this okay, but you see that, and we don't seem to learn from that in society, going, that means fathers are important, mothers are important, and it means what you're taught in the schools is important. And, you know, ideas have consequences. If you believe the wrong ideas, you will, the wrong actions will follow. And it seems our country doesn't learn and take the right conditions.
It's, you know, and it's so simple. Just a simple return to God would solve all the problems in this country. I get so frustrated. People bring out 2 Chronicles 7:14 all the time, but I get frustrated because Christians will quote that, but rarely, if ever, ever do anything differently. They quote it, but they don't mean it. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And that they're in that one verse, you have the solution to everything. So
that's right.
But well, why don't we get into the latest in the world of the mainstream news stream, the mysterious drones we're all hearing about. I know that you wanted to talk about that. First, they were sighted in swarms over New Jersey, but they've been seen all over the nation now, Florida, Ohio, California, just about, and Missouri, pretty much everywhere. Donald Trump has said the government knows what these UFOs are, but they're not telling us. And the current regime has said that there's no proof that they're posing any type of danger, even though they've been sighted over military bases and several major airports have had to shut down because of them. They don't show up on radar. They appear in swarms. Some have been said to be the size of a bus, and they move extremely fast. So what do you suppose these things are? Apparently, they're not visible on radar. They tend to appear at night with lights, which, you know, it seems to me, if it was a some sort of an enemy nation doing this, they wouldn't be flashing lights everywhere. What do you think these things are?
Yeah, I'm not positive, but I think Trump was right. And our military and our surveillance state that we live in, they know what's going on. There's no way they're has gone that far where they're at every level. I know we've got a lot of people that aren't the sharpest crayons in the box in some positions. But I think, I don't know, it concerns me because I think everything they do is very purposeful. I've studied the other side for 20, 30 years full time. And I go, no, they have a lot of idiots out there in front for them. They have a lot of people that we go, who are the, where they come from? But behind the scenes, there's a plan. There's a plan A, B, C, and D. They're working toward an agenda. They're working to accomplish something. And so I feel, you know, I don't know if they're setting the stage for something they have planned, and if this somehow will get covered to it when it happens. I do know this. They do not want Trump in there. And I think that's obvious to everybody. We've never seen anyone attacked in history like him. And they weren't able to, because of all the monitoring and all the boots on the ground, able to fudge enough votes, even though I think they fudged millions. But they weren't able to do that. And so are they going to just do nothing for 4 years? No. I know they will have a plan. I know they're working towards it actively. Of course, I don't know what it is, but they're famous for false flag type things, black swan events. If we study the last 50 years, we see over and over again, those in the deep state, the bureaucracy, the Marxist left that captured DC back in the 1930s under FDR, they have things going. And so it concerns me. I think the drone thing is something they are aware of and they know what's going on. And I would be shocked if it's an enemy and they don't know about it or whatever. I don't think it's that. I think it's them setting the stage for something, maybe they're planning or something like that.
Yeah, I have to tend to agree with you. You know, I put my notes together on this morning, and then just a couple of hours ago, I got this story that came across my news feed. So I'm going to just read just a short piece of it. Residents in New Jersey and the wider tri-state area claim they have become mysteriously ill after seeing drones in the sky. After witnessing or reading about the devices, residents revealed how they started coughing, suffering from a blocked or runny nose, or experienced puffy, watery eyes. One woman in New Jersey said she became so sick it felt like she was coughing up my lung, while a second in New York City said her blocked sinuses must be because the drones over Staten Island. DailyMail.com heard from another New Jersey resident who said they had developed a stuffy nose and swollen, runny eyes after the drones flew over their home. So now we know they're spooling up the pandemics again. They've got, the COVID's back, bird flu's out there, and whatever else they're going to come up with. But it would not surprise me if they have aerosoled something and dispersing this in a much more efficient way than using the chemtrails.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And with the mosquitoes that have been, mutated, yeah, dropped off all over the place by Bill Gates. So, yeah, I mean, I guess the key thing for people to understand is, like the Bible tells us, man is desperately wicked. And we always kind of think they're like us, so we think, oh, it couldn't have been that evil plan or whatever. But the older I get, the more I go, oh my goodness, man is just rotten to the core. If he hasn't been regenerated, he's capable of anything. He will think, yeah, I'm doing a blessing to the world to extinguish a couple billion people. You can be delusional in your rebellion against God. He gives you over to this mind where you're committing suicide and you don't realize it. You're destroying the country your own children and grandchildren will grow up in, and you don't realize it, because in that rebellion against God, he turns you into a fool. And so, yeah, they have their little schemes and plans. We know Satan hates all of us because we're made in the image of God. And so there will be many schemes forthcoming to eliminate world population. That is the number one goal and has been for almost 100 years of their agenda. Those, the deep state globalist elites, the bankers, there's way too many people to control. And now the climate crisis is a perfect card to play, going, well, because they've taught the kids moral relativism, where it's not always wrong to do something wrong. And so if we have to eliminate X number of people so the planet can survive, then that's what we have to do. So they've set the stage for that kind of thing, where it will even be accepted by so many that have been so brainwashed. But that's the world we're in, where anything is possible. There's nothing off the table or too much, because Satan, there's nothing too much for him.
Yeah, there's no level to which the, like you said, the unregenerated person will not sink without Christ. And one thing that just never ceases to amaze me, although it should, is that the level of wickedness of our own government against its own people in project after project after project, and on how, what the things that they've done to us. Yes. Going back to the, even going back to the 40s, but even before that, some of the experiments they've used us as guinea pigs for, it's just appalling.
Yes. So. No, it's, yeah. And that's, again, it's something that's not, encouraging to hear. Some of you listening maybe go, I don't know anything about that, but you have to wake up to reality. We're not to be in fear. God's sitting on his throne and he's in total control, but we are to be wise and we are to understand the times and we are to be trusting people that are not trustworthy, because that's one of the ways we love our neighbor. But when we see them doing evil and telling lies, we stand up and say, that's a lie. We do that as the best way to shine the light to us, like a whole, to and stand against this evil. And it takes courage to do that, but we have to do that because they are desperately wicked. They really are. They have been the things the CIA and our own government and all these secret projects have been doing for 100 years and so many of the events in our country now that we, whether it's the JFK assassination, where we dig in deeper and documents are declassified stuff, and we go, oh my goodness, almost every bad thing that's happened in our country is from our government. It was something that was planted. It was promoted. It was allowed to happen, whatever it might be. All the tragedies of my lifetime, almost without exception, were things now we know behind the scenes. Well, that was our government and some of the intelligence, the wicked intelligence organizations setting those things up to happen. And they do that because those kind of events create the fear that makes us willing to submit and do whatever they ask us to do. And so that's why we have to have the megaphone of the truth so people will drop the fear and stand with courage, because all these schemes are simply to eliminate more freedoms and get more power and control over the people.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the fear, and I'll go back again to the whole COVID thing. Just so you know, the masks were not about anything other than a physical reminder that we need to remain fearful. They did nothing for our health. They actually injured our health, but they were a physical, visible reminder that we need to be afraid. This nasty virus is out there, but you're okay as long as you follow the curfew and go in your house by 9 p.m. And anyway, you mentioned JFK, and this is not on my agenda, but for today, but am I correct that they were supposed to be releasing the full unredacted transcript or information on that in the next few years? Is that correct?
Yeah, they were already supposed to in 2017, but Trump got some bad advice from some top advisors who were deep state, and he didn't realize about the deep state back then, and said, don't do it, it'll wreck national security and stuff. So he was thinking of our country. He said now he will release all of them. And again, I'm sure a lot of the really down and dirty ones haven't been kept. I mean, why would you keep exact record? But it will show clearly. It will show absolutely clearly that our government is who killed JFK.
Absolutely, yeah.
And a sobering thought, yeah. And that was a key point in our entire country history, because from that point forward now, you study history. They were so emboldened by that that they were able to take out a U.S. president in broad daylight in front of people, and they were so in control of the narrative with the news media, they could just make it go as it is. They confiscated every camera, every video camera or film camera that was back then, and kept those for decades until they finally released some of them. So they knew no one will know. There's some eyewitnesses that are saying, no, the shot came from over here, but people will just say, no, they just thought they heard that, and we'll ignore them, and history will go on, and we'll get away with this thing. And they found out we did. And so that's when I think things really turned south in our government. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has studied this in detail, he's a man, I like him because he doesn't talk unless he's done the research. But he says he has documented at least 83 countries our government has taken the leader out of with the CIA and put someone else in power because they didn't like them. I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, and we're also going to find out that Lyndon Johnson was front and center in all of that, too.
Yeah, he was a wicked man, and he hated black people. That's why I can't stand him. I live in Alabama, he was so wicked behind the scenes. The transcripts of his own phone calls and stuff that you can read from the White House, he couldn't stand black people, but he knew he had to pretend that he liked them so he could pass the Great Society programs, because he knew the way they were written, it would destroy the black families in America by making the father leave. And therefore, they'd have to vote Democrat the rest of their life because they needed that. They really did need that help because there wasn't a father in the home.
Yeah, and it's worse than that. If you look into his life, he was a genuine pervert. But anyway, we're getting off track here. and we've thrown a lot at you today. So anyone in our audience have any questions or comments you'd like to make? There's a little hand button you can on your screen there you can press, and we'll bring you into the show. Now is your chance. Deanne, come on in.
Yeah, I feel like you guys were listening in last night or watching. I was texting with a friend of ours, and boy, that was the exact subject we were talking about.
We're surveilling you, Deanne.
Yeah, I think so. You know, my phone just beeped just randomly a couple times. I'm like, oh, the government's listening to the program. And I, in fact, I looked at my phone and said, are you enjoying WCN TV? anyway, we got on the subject of talking about the shooting, the school shooting. And I said, you know, it's sad. Madison is a very, very liberal town. Anti-gun always seems to happen. Well, that set this person off. Of course, I was a fool and an idiot. And oh, you and your gun rights all the time, your 2A rights. And how come you people can't wait, you know, when you buy a gun, blah, blah, blah. And of course, then it evolved into the overpopulation of the world. And you start citing scripture to these people and you start saying, then why does God say, go therefore and multiply, be fruitful? And you hear, yes, you hear, oh my gosh, I don't believe everything that's written in the Old Testament.
You know, as far as population, America has not met its replacement population since, I think, the early 1970s. People are, first of all, many are not getting married. The ones that are getting, you know, most are not having children. They're opting to have cats and dogs rather than children. And so we are basically eliminating ourselves.
Yep, exactly. But when it is so hard to hear, you know, that Old Testament, I don't believe everything that God said in that Old Testament. And then when you say, you know, if you believe that, you're in trouble. You know, you better take another look back at that and rethink that. And then, of course, what do I get called? Well, we're all called out in the streets. You're a Pharisee.
Well, you know, it's not that they don't want to understand. It's that they can't understand because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Some things are spiritually discerned, and they cannot discern spiritual things because they don't have the Spirit.
Amen.
So you know, I used to try to debate liberals, leftists, and it was like talking to someone from another planet. It's not like they're from another planet, though. They're from another kingdom. They're from the enemy's kingdom. And you need to realize that that's what you're dealing with. You can't expect non-Christians to understand spiritual things.
Right. And when you, and also when you've been, instead of educated, you've been brainwashed, it's the mind resists anything alternative to what it's been taught. That's why, you know, you've been brainwashed when you can't jump from A to B to C, when you're given the logical evidence for that. So many of those, I've taken college students that are in the environmental movement. I'll have a nice conversation with them, friendly. How are you doing today? They'll be at an environmental rally or something. And I've always been shocked. I'll come over and, you know, what are you saving the planet from? And they'll, global warming. I go, okay, thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it. Well, how much has it warmed? And, well, I don't know, but it's been a lot. And they have no facts. But then when I present the facts, and say, well, here's a weather chart from 1840 to today, and here's how little actual global temperatures have gone up. You think they would, if you'd been an educated person, just misinformed, you'd go, is that really from the national weather? Yeah, it is. Oh, my goodness, why did my teacher say it? You know, it's not that. They say, get away from me. Get away from me. And put their fingers in their ears. I've had that exact thing happen with someone in their 20s. When I showed them something after having a nice cordial conversation, they could not take that because it dispelled their worldview. And that's what I realized then is that was their religion. So for them to say, you're right, They would lose all purpose and meaning in life. Their life would just be so empty. When they put their head on their pillow, they would realize my life is, there's nothing for me, because that's what they've been taught. The environment, that's because of the school miss and brainwashing and propagandizing our children. It's made them sitting ducks for everything that sounds good, even when it is not good. Because they, God made us to have purpose. They've been told there is no purpose and meaning. You're just an evolved animal. And so they're looking for purpose. And then the other side's great at masking all of their radical causes, the Black Lives Matter movement or the environmental movement, as something noble. And so that's why they just jump in. They don't jump in because the facts led them to believe we're getting ready to have a planetary crisis. It's because their heart was broken with the uselessness and the meaninglessness. Like Solomon talked about, just day after day, the sun rises, the sun sets. And if you don't have God and purpose, that gets really tiring. And so they jump on these things and then they go, oh, when they lay their head on their pillow, oh, I sorted my trash today. You know, they feel like they had some value. That's why they jump up for the transgender. They want to feel like they're defending the innocent or the against the injustice or something, because we're designed to do that. But they've been manipulated to always do that on a lie. And that's, I just, oh, it makes me so angry. But that's what we're dealing with.
And you said it well. It really is their religion, whatever their yes. situation, whatever their latest cause of the day is, whether it's the LGBT stuff or the transgenderism or the environmentalism, it's a religion to them. And yes. I don't get it. I don't understand when you present facts why they don't. I guess I do, but it's frustrating. It's very frustrating. Anyone else in our audience have any comments or questions?
Yeah, I would like to say something about the evolution thing. I've had some young people, a couple of them, say that, you know, when they die, they hope they come back as a cat or a horse or something. If they're so brainwashed, they believe that if they pass away, they're going to come back as another animal or another human. It's just crazy. They're just so brainwashed in our schools.
Yeah, so much confusion. That's kind of, they're getting reincarnation and evolution, and all, they're like mixing. It's like they've taken all the false religions and all the false philosophies of man and stirred a big pot and then bake some cookies and give it to them. And they're just like in total, utter confusion, which is a horrible place to be when you're young, because it's kind of tough as it is, because the world's new. You still have a lot to learn. You don't have the wisdom that you really need to be prepared for everything you're going to meet. But then when what you've been taught is a lie on almost everything, you're just doomed. And that, of course, was the plan to create a dependent class that needed big government to survive. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah, it really, really begins in the schools and the churches. And I guess if you want to get down to it, it begins in the families, because if we had strong natural families, we wouldn't be dealing with apostate churches and abominable schools. We wouldn't stand for it. So, well, let's move on and talk about the election, Curtis. Donald Trump was allowed to win the White House this time. Your thoughts, and what do you think is coming in just a few weeks? We're down to just a little over 30 days here now.
Yeah. My opinion on it is this. I know there's a lot of different opinions of Donald Trump. I'm thankful for him. I feel God is using him to be a blessing to us. And but I look back, and it's important as a Christian. Sometimes we pray about something, like in 2020, we prayed, oh, don't let Biden get in there, but it didn't happen. And so we can be discouraged. But I'm telling you right now, I don't know, for me, I can see it so crystal clear. When we were all, and I know as I travel the country a lot, so I'm meeting with groups of people in different states regularly, sometimes 40 states in 1 year. I've done that many times. And so I'm really in touch with the people. And I remember in 2020, so many people in our country, they were really praying for our country. They were, I'd never seen that before. Normally they're like, okay, we're going to win this and we're going to, and they were more, oh, God needs to help us and stuff. And I noticed that. I thought, oh, that's a good sign. Whenever you're turning to God for the assistance, and then Trump loses, and it's an open steal where it's obvious that's what happened. And we're all so discouraged. But now in retrospect, as God always knows what he's doing, obviously, I go, that was an answer to our prayers, that God allowed Biden to steal the election and all 20 million fraudulent vote, all that stuff, so that America would wake up, which tens of millions of people are awake today that were not in 2020, from the COVID, the shots, the foolishness with that. Trump has awakened. They've been sued for 4 years and raided by the FBI as a president of the United States, all these things. And I realized just recently with my family, I was talking about, I go, that was like God usually does things different than what we hope. He was like, okay, if you really want a chance of turning things back, you're going to have some rough times for that to happen. And we were like, no, we really want things to turn. We want America to turn back to you. And if we have to go through rough times, so be it. And so I really am optimistic in that I feel like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I know he's a Democrat, and there'd be many areas we wouldn't agree, but in children's health and in truth on medications and food, and I think he is 100% sincere in that. I think he will do everything in his power to clean up our food, to clean up the medications, to stop injecting our children with poisons, to just really rein things in this big pharma, big food industry that has just sought to profit off the American people by feeding us food that's going to make us sick. So we need their medications to be able to survive. And I'm excited about that. I think Trump, the last 4 years, he has grown so much, that I think some good things are really going to happen. I know there's going to be tremendous opposition from the apparatus of the deep state and what's there, and they're going to maybe try to collapse the economy or do whatever. They want to wreck his presidency or have such catastrophes going on. It's hard to get anything going or happening. And we're long overdue for financial collapse because of our fiat currency and stuff. So there's so many things, but I know God is working. I could just see it. And I think more people are praying now than they ever have. And I want to encourage people listening, if you were praying before the election, God have mercy on us. Don't you stop that. Don't you say, okay, we got, no. You need to pray that every, God is a merciful God. He's a loving father. He cares about his children. And we need to talk to him about that. And I just say, God, would you bless their efforts? Would you cause them to have wise counsel, to make wise decisions? I believe Trump in his heart truly wants to do what's best for America. And so I pray, God, you give him men that are godly men that are wise, that really tell me this is the best path. And he goes, okay, let's do it. And so I just, so I think there's reason for optimism, even though there hasn't been in a long time, but we're still losing our children. We're still, different things are happening that are devastating. And so we need to continue to individually be repentant and be seeking to please God. When we're pleasing him, he'll part the Red Sea. He'll do things that normally he doesn't do. And then raising our children and grandchildren to love and fear him. If we're not doing that actively, daily, then he's not going to answer our prayers, because we have to reap what we have sown. We cannot continue to give our children over to the world to raise and think they're going to wind up being soldiers for Jesus. They're not. And we've had a 70-year experiment in that. It's been a failure. So we need to just do what we can do and then ask him to do the things that we cannot do.
Yeah. There has been a lot that has been revealed in the last 4 years. And I believe you're right. It was a blessing. When things like that happen and we get people like Sleepy Joe in office, we think the world is over, but it's always in retrospect that we see how God worked everything together for good. So we've seen the depths of what they're willing to sink to, what they're willing to do to us, and now hopefully people will, like you said, awaken a little bit. But yeah. One thing I noticed, really kind of stuck out to me, and I'm sure you noticed it too, was how gracious Kamala and Joe were when they conceded. And, you know, it was just such a pleasant, nice speech. And we're going to do everything we can for a peaceful transfer of power. And whatever we can do, we're here to help. And we just love you. And so, you know, I thought, this isn't real.
No, I, yeah.
So they, what do you think they have planned? I mean, we got Kamala is going to have to certify this thing on January 6th.
Yes. I don't know. No, I, again, not to ever try to create fear or ourselves or anything, but I truly believe, and I've been saying this on my podcast for several months, we need to be alert, because I feel like anything is possible between now and January 20th or shortly thereafter or whatever, because I know these people, they will do whatever they have to do, especially since I think many might actually be going to prison. I mean, they have done criminal acts. And I think
now we have, you know, not to interrupt, but now we have Biden pardoning everyone and preemptively pardoning everyone.
Yeah. So, which has never been done in history. And so it shows they know they've done criminal acts, and they know Trump might have some people around him that are literally going to go after them. And like, no, you're going to be charged with these crimes. You can't just, because you're in an elected position, do whatever you want to do. So, but because of that, it's, again, when you corner the you know, cat in the corner, it's going to claw you when it doesn't feel like it has any other option. And so I think it's really almost anything is possible. There's nothing. I've learned too. I think Hitler first said it, you know, tell a lie, make it big, repeat it often, and the majority of people will believe you. But it's the same thing they've learned. If you're going to have a false flag or a black swan event, have it be big, so that people just, it's like, oh, they couldn't do it. It just seems too big for them to have actually done that. You know, like, I don't know, people have dug in Oklahoma City and some of those things. I've studied for years, and there's a lot there. But, you know, blowing up that building there, it's crystal clear that was the FBI, and with facts, not feelings or opinions. But things that big, most people go, they're not going to blow up a building in our own country. You know, you just feel like it's too big, and they know that. So whatever's coming, I would guess, would be something really big, because the mind has a hard time taking that leap to accept my own government did that. Oh, no, there's no way. It had to be. They'll blame it on Iran or Russia or whatever happens. If something happens, and God might foil all their plans and say, nope, you're not doing anything. But they'll always instantly project it onto somebody else, like that, or us. It was MAGA supporters that took down the power grid. I mean, they're so clever to always accuse you of doing what they are doing, and they deflect that way, and then they try to create the narrative to destroy opposition. They're masters of that. But I feel like there's a good likelihood that something unusual will happen.
Yeah, and plus they've got the mainstream media brainwashing the people that are not being brainwashed in the schools and churches. So it's you mentioned Oklahoma City. That building had to go because it had all Hillary's information in it, and that was about to break. Someday we're going to need to talk with you about 9/11, but that'll be another day. Yep. So it never ends. It never ends.
No, it doesn't.
Well, meanwhile, the world is at war. We continue to fund Ukraine and ramp things up with our weaponry. It almost seems like the current regime is doing its best to leave Trump with World War III on his plate, not to mention more pandemics and all of that. So tell us what you know about Ukraine and Russia and Israel.
They've clearly been poking their, you know, finger into the eye of Putin intentionally. And they've created a narrative where if you say something against Ukraine, that means you're pro-Putin or pro-communist, whatever, which anybody that knows me knows I'm about as anti-communist as they come. My parents have been studying it since the early 60s. But here's the facts. And I always, anytime Ukraine is brought up, I bring this up to remind people. the Ukraine war happened because of the Biden administration's actions. If Kamala, when she went over there, was supposed to bring peace to that area, the war had not started. If she would have said, Putin, Ukraine will never be part of NATO. We realize that would be provoking you by putting our weapons right on your border. As the founder of NATO said, don't ever get one of the countries that's bordering Russia. You will be provoking them to strike. If she would have said that, the troops would never have marched in, and that whole of the hundreds of thousands of dead Ukrainians and 100,000 dead Russian soldiers, none of that would have happened. All the children, the trafficking that's taking place out of there because the parents are gone, everything, just a horrible situation, none of it. So everyone knows that is Biden's war. One, it's not Putin's, it's Biden's. When Cuba tried to put weapons down on our border, we said the same thing. You better remove those or you'll be sorry. And so it was a logical thing. Putin wasn't crazy to say they cannot be part of NATO. That's not a crazy thought. That's a logical thought for a superpower not allowing the other superpower to put weapons right on their border, just like we would have in ourselves. So I always want to bring that up. So now they try, you know, and then when they tried to have peace right afterward, they were getting ready to talk. And obviously someone in our country said to Zelensky, no, because they were getting ready to have some peace talks like a month into it. And then, oh no, that disappeared. They don't want peace. They love war. They make a fortune on war, and people don't understand that either. That's why why do they always stir up wars? They love it. It also cuts world population, which is key. It cuts food supply, which is key. When you know their number one goal is to cut human population, all the things you see them do worldwide through that lens, you go, oh, it makes sense. Why are you cutting the most successful farms in the world in the Netherlands, making them cut production and no fertilizer? You got to kill half your cattle because all of Africa is dependent on the bread that comes out of Ukraine. So if you have a war going on there and you hamstring them on farming, you're going to lose hundreds of millions in Africa, and they don't care. Those are all minorities. Who cares? And that's the way the elites really think. And so that, as you see that, that's, and then this, the missiles that have been sent lately, I think Trump has hopefully been able, because I don't think they wanted World War III, Russia and everything. I think the elites would mind it. The deep state would not mind a strike, a nuclear strike at all. But I don't think Putin, I think Putin was just trying to kind of build his country back a little bit in stability. They had a long, hard road. And he's not a good guy, but he, I think, likes Russia. I mean, he the motherland, whatever. But anyway, so it's a mess. But they're trying to do everything to start a war with Iran in the Middle East or with Russia before Trump gets in there. So he inherits a war, especially if he's provoked them to strike where people die, where you feel like, you know, we got to retaliate. I think that's what they would really like as one of the options that they're thinking about. But I think cooler heads may prevail where that's not going to happen, because I think most of the players involved, like, we'd rather not do that, where we just start nuking each other and all that.
Well, yeah, and those are good points. But I think it, you know, at the heart of it, it's even more basic than that. This truly is the current administration's operation. Oh, yeah. Ukraine, I believe, is still quoted by Wikipedia as being the third most corrupt nation in the world. And the trillions of dollars that have sent there are not going where they tell us it's going. It's circulating back and going into the pockets of the politicians.
Yeah. No.
This thing would have been over within 30 days at the outside, except what a wonderful money-making opportunity for the politicians on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, and war always is. There's a great book from 1932 called War is a Racket by Smedley Butler, who's the most decorated Marine in American history, 2 Congressional Medals of Honor. But when he finally was done after 40 years in the military, he realized, and he wrote that book, he goes, I thought I was fighting for freedom. I thought I was doing all this. He goes, all I was doing is rearranging the checkers on the board for big business worldwide. That's what we were being used to do. And that's a guy that loved our country, was, again, the most decorated ever. And he wrote that book. It's a short book, but he documents from World War One how much money all the big businesses made off the war machine. But the Ukraine has just been a laundering ground forever, since 2014, when we kicked out the elected person there, the CIA did, caused a little revolution, and then started putting our people in there. The reason they want this war to continue, even though there's no chance of victory, is they want to kill off all the Ukrainians. Why? It's one of the richest countries in the world, their natural resources. And they know if they can just keep eliminating all the people that live on the land, they'll be able to take all the land. And it's that the minerals, the natural reserve, the farmland. A lot of people don't know this either. The Ukraine, just the farmland in the Ukraine, provides 25% of the bread of the entire world. The entire world, not just you, not Europe or something, of 25% of all the bread in the world comes out of the Ukraine. And so, I mean, it's so vital. It's so wealthy. That's why they want it. So they're hoping, as you know, half the population has left the Ukraine, so they're gone. And then if they kill off the other half, they got this whole country that they can pillage those resources and make a fortune.
Interesting that you said that, because we actually have some Ukrainian immigrants in our own town here, and they opened a bakery, of all things. So
yeah, well, they it should be good. I'll come visit there when I come visit you. It should be really good.
So yeah, I haven't been down there yet. So, we're down to about 8 minutes or so. I know you're often as frustrated as I am about the state of the modern American church. It's become salt that has lost its savor, which is now no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men. I need to differentiate, though, between the institutional churches and God's remnant, because the church is not a building or an organization. But do you think there's any hope for our modern-day churches now, or has the Holy Spirit departed from them entirely?
Well, I think the big machine of churches, Rick Warren started with Peter Drucker and all that, as they started to turn church into a business, where these are customers, they're not sheep. That is a dead end. That's the counterfeit church. That's the church that will be cheering on the executions of the remnant whenever that happens at some point. They will be the ones saying, no, these people, we're the Christians. These people are hateful. They're intolerant of others and all that stuff. So that's setting up the Antichrist church is being set up clearly. But the remnant, I think, is growing stronger every day. And that, like the school shooting we started with, I think the attacks on Christianity are going to accelerate. Even with Trump in office, not coming from our government, but it's just they're starting to turn. The world is turning, I think, because it's so embracing such wicked, vile stuff. It hates the idea of God. It hates the idea of people that say they believe in him. It hates the idea that they're sinners and they deserve punishment. They don't want to hear that. That will be criminalized in our lifetime, or sooner, probably within a decade at the absolute longest in America, because those with the strings of power and the influencers and stuff, they hate that. They hate the message of the gospel, which is crazy, but they do, because it implies they are not fine just the way they are. They like it the way they are, and they don't want a change, and they don't want to do it. So I think the war against Christianity worldwide will be accelerating, but I think that will strengthen that remnant. And I think as we are strengthened and we are more committed to obeying all the things he's asked us to do, the directions are there for how to raise a family, how to have a church, how to run a business, how to run a government, it's all there in the Bible. I think the more we pull out and do that, and then still be the salt and the light by sharing the gospel with those in need. And I think there's going to be more and more. I think it's going to be a good season, even though the world will be turning on us. It's going to get so vile and wretched. Many will be looking for hope in something. So I think it's going to be, there'll also be a great harvest at this time. I just feel, because I just see people, they're broken. They realize my government's lied to me my whole life. They're looking for the truth. And I think we need to pray, God, help them to go all the way to the truth, not just learn about the conspiracy theories, but to learn about Jesus. I don't know if you know the guy, Russell Brand, or not.
Mm-hmm.
He's a New Age guy. He was a New Age guy. You know, Hindu gods tattooed all over his arms. 4 years ago, I started watching him with COVID because he's kind of a funny guy. But as I did, I got so attracted to his personality. I started praying, God, you save this guy. Please save him. He's so lost. I mean, you're talking about the craziest stuff you've ever heard. And I don't know if you know, but last May, he got saved. And then he said a prayer on one of the Tucker shows. I don't know if you know that. Tucker asked him to close in prayer. And he had the most meaningful, unbelievable prayer. I've never heard a pastor give a prayer like he gave there. On his knees. He got off of his chair sitting next to Tucker with this whole auditorium there. Got on his knees and said, Savior. And he talked to Jesus so sweetly. He presented the gospel in the prayer and everything. And I was like, that's God can do that. But the COVID lies are what woke him up. He was a liberal Democrat. He was in Hollywood making movies. But when he saw the lies of COVID, all of a sudden he realized, I think a lot of what I believe is a lie. And then all of a sudden he realized Jesus. And that's what one of his prayers, he goes, Jesus is what I was looking for all along. And he is. So we need to get out there, but be living in such a way when you share the gospel with that homosexual or whatever, sweetly, kindly, your life makes them know in their heart Jesus is real because of you. He's real. Just like Betty was going to help those people in North Carolina and stuff. And I could tell Betty from just meeting you briefly, you're the type of lady, when you're doing that, they can see, no, God's real. Christianity is real. They have something that I need. And so when you're doing things like, it's wonderful to be there and then share the gospel to them. I'm doing this because of Jesus. I just wanted you to know that. We need to look for opportunities to tell a hurting, lost world about Jesus and be living in such a way when we present it, it makes sense because we are different. We're not perfect, but we're different enough where they realize he's got to be real because of your life.
Yep. And it's, you know, this is going to be a time of probably our greatest opportunity.
Yes.
For us as individual Christians to be witnesses of not only our Lord and Savior, but of the truth. And yeah. We need to be the most informed of all people and be able to gently, humbly, and patiently just tell the truth. So.
That's right.
Curtis, I know you wanted to mention the importance of prayer. We know prayer changes things. I'm going to give you the last word on that, and then we're down to about 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, I just want to encourage people, as circumstances get such that it kind of creates fear in us, don't be fearful. Get down on your knees. There's nothing that will happen or ever has happened to you that doesn't have a purpose in. Even things you didn't choose to have happen, he's going to use that in your life if you trust in him and you give it to him. And the things going on in our country, we might have to go through some rough days before it ever turns back, if it ever does, or we're just heading into rough days. But we see through the Bible stories, we see through Fox's Book of Martyrs, we see just through world history, God has always been faithful to his children, and he always uses them. And if he ever allows one of us to suffer for a second, it will be for a purpose. He would never waste suffering or death or whatever. And just knowing that, and whether you're sitting in a gulag in the Soviet Union, we used to joke about, he's going to be sitting right next to you. And so I just want to encourage you, talk to him more, build that relationship. A lot of people I know that fled communist countries, they go, if America turns communist, you'll have wished you had a really strong prayer life with the Lord as things get dark, as they did. Some of the families I've interviewed that escaped communism. And so I just want to encourage you that to take your burdens to him. You do what you can do to obey what he's asked you to do. But the things that are too heavy, they're too much to handle, you just go lay those down. Say, you take care of that. I'm going to just be faithful right where you've put me.
Amen. Well said. And with that, we wrap up WCN-TV for 2024. I pray you all have a blessed time with those you love as you honor and worship the Lord this Christmas, and we'll see you again in the new year. Curtis, if you would, stick around for just a minute or so after the program. I have a question for you. So thank you, folks. We'll see you next year. God bless you. Take care.